Rabbi Osa, we stand just a few hours before Yom Kippur, and then after that, not much time exists between us and the onset of Yom Kippur, Tavshanayim Gimel. And as Yom Kippur comes in, and as we think about Yom Kippur coming, certainly a lot of thoughts are on our mind, and a lot of different themes exist when it comes to Yom Kippur. I'd like to focus with us today a little bit on a very, very fundamental, important idea that I think actually couches and is actually bookends for what Yom Kippur is and for a very, very important lesson that we take from Yom Kippur. The first thing we do on Yom Kippur, before Yom Kippur starts even, after Mincha, before we even have Kol Nidre, at the beginning of Yom Kippur, before the sun sets, we come to Shul tomorrow afternoon and we recite Tefillah Zakah. Tefillah Zakah, you may recall, is a long tefillah. And Tefillah Zakah is a very, very personal tefillah. A lot of people come to Shul early and they say Tefillah Zakah with Kavana. A lot of people come and they put their talis over their head already and they get into zone, so to speak, into gear for Yom Kippur day by saying Tefillah Zakah. Now what is Tefillah Zakah? Why should I try to make it to Shul a few minutes early before coming to tomorrow so I could say Tefillah Zakah properly with Kavana? So I'm not going to read the whole Tefillah Zakah, it's very long. I'll tell you the highlights. Tefillah Zakah basically begins and says, Hashem, who wants tshuva, you created a man for good, and you created him two yetzer, the yetzer HaTov and the yetzer HaRa. So you should choose to do what's right. And you go through all of our body parts, all of our limbs, and say the following, listen carefully. Hashem, for example, Barasabi, you created for me Einayim, eyes, with the ability to see. And see what? To see holy things. L'ros b'hem ha'shkasav b'torah. To sanctify my eyes with seeing proper things. You told me in the Torah not to walk. And what did I do? I goofed. And instead of using my eyes for the purpose that they were used for, I used my eyes for things that were less than holy or unholy sometimes. And you gave me legs, like it continues, you gave me legs to use so I could run to do mitzvot, so I could do chesed. And instead of doing that, I ran to do averos, and etc., etc., etc. It goes on. And then there's a long, long tefillah. It's a very, very moving, powerful tefillah. A person thinks about it in a real way. It's a very, very beautiful way to help get us into frame of mind properly for Yom Kippur. I want to skip 25 hours on the clock and go to the other end of Yom Kippur. How do we end off Yom Kippur? We end off with an Eilah. And with an Eilah, there's a phrase in the Eilah that comes up twice in the Eilah. That's a beautiful phrase that requires a lot of attention. In the Eilah, we say, Hashem, you are the one who stretches out your hands. God, you give out your hands, you extend your hands to those that need help. And Hashem, you've given us this great day, Yom Kippur, listen carefully. What is this day? It's Ketzu Mechilo Slicha Akol Vanoseinu, today for atonement for all our averos. Listen to these words. Leman Nechdal Me'oshek Yaldeinu. So that we can stop, we can avoid Oshek Yaldeinu. What's Oshek? Anyone know what the word Oshek means? The Torah says in the Torah, Lo Sashok Sachir Ani Levion. You're not allowed to. What's Oshek? Anybody know? Oshek is not allowed to basically steal. If you have a worker, you can't hold back his wages. That's lo sashok. So you gave us a day of Yom Kippur. Why? Leman nechdal, so we should avoid Oshek Yodenu. What's Oshek Yodenu? Thievery. The thievery of our hands. Thievery of our hands? That's Ne'ila? That's what we're thinking about? God, you gave us a day of Yom Kippur, and we should have a day of Kapara, so we should not steal? Where in the world does thievery come in with Yom Kippur? I want to try to answer explain both of these ideas, both bookends, both parts of Yom Kippur, both Tefillah Zakah on the one hand, at the beginning of Yom Kippur, and the Eilah at the end of Yom Kippur, with the following beautiful story that I heard last week in the shul on Friday night. True story. There was a great, great Gadol b'Yisrael. His name was the Altar of Slabodka. Great Gon, great Gadol, great Baal Musar. He had a yeshiva in Slabodka, a very, very chashi yeshiva that many, many gedolei Yisrael came from. The Altar of Slabodka used to give shmuzin. He used to give words of inspiration, words of chizuk And the Altar of Slabaka was known for his timeliness. He always began his shmuzin right on time. If it was called for 6 o'clock, everyone was sitting in their seats at 5 to 6 waiting for the shmuz to begin. And he would walk in and he would begin talking exactly at 6 o'clock. And one day it was time for a shmuz, and everyone's ready to base medrash for the Altar to come and give the shmuz. And they look at their clocks, they see it's 6 and 6:01, and by 6:05 everyone's going crazy. Because the Altar is never late. Is he okay? The Altar had a room upstairs in his yeshiva, his study, his place where he would sit and learn and prepare. And they send one of the best bachim in the yeshiva, one of the best guys in the yeshiva, up to this Altar. See what's going on. The Altar is not here. Is everything okay? Maybe he's not well. They walk up to the Altar, knocks on the door. About to come inside. Come in. The Altar says, come in. He sees the Altar inside, staring at the window, staring down on the street. Unusual. He lost track of time. He says, Rebbe, I'm really sorry to interrupt, but the whole yeshiva is downstairs waiting for a shmooze. Is the yeshiva coming? I'm coming down right now. Goes back down. Everyone sits down in their seats. Altar gets up to the podium and says the following. I prepared a regular shmooze. I prepared a certain thing to say. I wanted to talk about something else entirely. But instead of that, I have all different shmooze to give. And this is what he said. He said, the Altar, the entire world is one big graveyard, one big cemetery. And then he closed his book, walked back upstairs, and went back to his office. At which point, pandemonium broke out in the Shiva Slobodka. What in the world does the Altar mean? The whole world is a graveyard? What is he talking about? And everyone starts saying, pshat, maybe the Altar meant like this, and maybe like that, and then back and forth. What do you mean? The world's a graveyard. What does that mean? The world's a graveyard. What does that mean? So they go to the same Talmud, same Bacher, and say, do me a favor, go back up and ask the Altar what he meant. Everyone's just baffled. No one has any clue what he meant when he said the whole world is a graveyard. Goes back up to the Altar's office, knocks on the Altar's door, and says, I'm really sorry, Rosh Hashiva. Everyone doesn't understand what she was talking about. What do you mean the whole world is graveyard? What was involved? He says, my friend, come over here. Come to me. And he brings the student over to the window. And he says, look down on the street. What do you see? He looks at the street. Everything seems like a regular normal day. A normal day in Slobodka. Everything is just fine and dandy. He turns to his Tom and says, Do you see? See what? Do you see Yankel over there? He recognizes Yankel. Yankel is the fellow that's cleaning the streets down the streets in Slobodka. Yeah, I see Yankel. Do you see? Look closely. Okay, I'm looking closely. What do you see on his forehead? Nothing. You're not seeing closely, says the Altar. On his forehead, there's two letters. Tei Nun. Anybody's ever been to a cemetery? On a tombstone, on the top, almost every tombstone begins with those words. They stand for, Pei means Po, and Nun stands for Nitman. Here is buried. Every tombstone. Said the Altar, on his forehead says Pei Nun. Do you know why? Because Yankel is sweeping the streets. Do you know how much potential Yankel has? Do you know that if Yankel was sitting in the Beis Medrash right now, do you know what kind of chidushim he'd be able to say? Do you know what kind of potential exists in Yankala, down on the street that's sweeping the streets up for us in Slobodka? Said the Altar to his Talmud, that's what I meant. The entire world is one big graveyard. Which means the entire world is full of unlimited, endless, incredible potential that sometimes is tapped into, and more often than not, is just left by the wayside, just left aside, and never, never really fully tapped into. The whole world is a graveside, said the Altar. Abosai, let's get back to Yom Kippur. We begin Yom Kippur with Tefillah Zaka, and what do we say? We say, God, you gave me so much potential. You gave me a brain that works, that functions, that I could use for good things. And instead, I goofed. I squandered that potential. I messed up that potential. I could have had the most amazing, amazing ideas in the most amazing areas. I messed that up. Hashem, you gave me hands. Hands that I could use for the right things. You know what's in the hand of Osai? How much potential is in the hand? An arm? You know what I could do with that? I could help somebody out. I could be mechazik somebody. I can give someone a encouragement. Instead, what did I do? I punched somebody, chas v'shalom. Or I used it for a different kind of avir, chas v'shalom. Tefillah zaka has got potential. Let's fast forward again. 25 hours. Kippur's almost over. We've been fasting all day, davening all day. We've tried to hopefully come to ourselves and to understand who we are. What's going on inside of us? And then comes Mila. And Mila, we say that phrase twice. You gave us this day, you know why? Leman nechdal me'oshet yadenu. Which means, so we should not steal. Steal from who? Our neighbor? What am I thinking about Yom Kippur? I'm going to steal his cookie after the fast? No. Doesn't mean that. I'm going to steal his orange juice? No. You know what it means? It means, Rabosai, the Bali Musa explained, it means we're going to steal from ourselves. The worst thing that we could do, Rabosai, is not use the potential that we were given. And if a person doesn't use his potential, he's stealing. He's stealing! God gave him something to use properly, and he's not using it. And Rabosai, that's our tefillah. As Yom Kippur begins, as Yom Kippur ends, Yom Kippur is a day to look into oneself. It's a day which is humbling, it's true. It's a day when we realize that we're very, very feeble and we have a lot of shortcomings, it's also true. That's not the closing feeling. The closing feeling is we have so much potential. We are capable of so much. It's a charge. We should run out of Yom Kippur like we will, please God, after Yom Kippur, dancing. Dancing, please God, because we're going to have a clean slate. And like we mentioned earlier today, Hashem's going to want us. But besides that, we're going to want ourselves. We're going to want to make the most out of ourselves. We're going to want to actualize the awesome potential, the unlimited potential that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. And that's when a person goes through Yom Kippur properly and experiences what Yom Kippur is supposed to bring out of him. He realizes, wow, Hashem blessed me with so much. He gave me so much opportunity, so much potential. Let's not squander that. Let's not let that just go to waste. Hashem should bless us all. Bez Hashem. And we should use the next hours until Yom Kippur, until it comes, to prepare ourselves for Yom Kippur. And when Yom Kippur comes, we should go through the entire experience of Yom Kippur, trying our best to look inside ourselves, see the great potential that Hashem gave us, and trying our best, please God, to actualize that great potential. Everybody should have a Gemar Chasima Tova, a wonderful year.